This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Political reporter Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins me in studio every Monday for a discussion of Virginia politics. And, you know, the only thing that concerns me really about this weather report, Bob, if we can talk weather, is the ice. That's what really, because the ice...
When they're talking half an inch to three quarters of an inch of ice, that's a lot of ice. That's going to weigh some trees down.
And that's power outages.
That's power outages,
yeah. I mean, the snow we can pretty much handle. It's doable, but the ice is really, that's a little...
Yeah, no, it's always good to join you, but especially on the day that the milk and the bread disappears from the stores.
And
Sarah, if you're out there, get milk, get bread.
They're flying off the shelves as we speak. I know you got the news that former UVA rector Hovey Dabney had passed away, and I know
Right. You
knew him for a long time.
Yes, he'd been quite a source for a long time. I used to call him up when I didn't have a column idea. I'd just call up Hovey
and say, "What's going on?
What's going on?" He had his finger on the pulse. He had his finger on the money. He knew where the money was.
Yeah, with Jefferson National Bank for a long time.
Yeah,
and then sold to what's that North Carolina company?
The one that watches Ovia.
Yeah, that one. Really sad to see him go. Bob, you're just back from Richmond. You've been down there all day. What's the very latest from the state capitol?
Well, we had an interesting Senate Privileges and Elections Subcommittee meeting this afternoon that settled on a final version of a bill that is going to do away with the voting machines that Albemarle County uses and do away with the voting machines that Charlottesville uses probably in the next 5 to 10 years. They're going to phase out the touchscreen voting machines and any machine that doesn't have a verifiable paper trail. And they're going to insist that new voting machines come in with a verifiable paper trail, an independently verifiable and audited paper trail, so that everybody knows that their vote doesn't disappear, as it happened perhaps in Florida this last election, where by 350 votes, a candidate for the Congress in the Tampa area won Catherine Harris's old seat. The Republican won by about 350 votes. 18,000 undervotes, 18,000 votes were not cast in that congressional election from a ballot. So there is a great deal of speculation that there was machine problem, but they can't find it out because they don't have the paper trail.
Now, this is big news here in Virginia because this is a debate that's going on nationally.
It is.
You've got folks on one side saying, no, those machines are fine, and folks on the other side saying they're really not fine. What we need is a paper trail.
As fine as they are, they don't have the verifiable paper trail, so that when they do mess up, and every computer, you know, if you work on a computer, you know you lose things in there. Well, we don't want to lose any votes. So even though these are fine machines and they haven't messed up around here, there have been some problems up in Fairfax County with them. These will be phased out at the end of their useful life, and they will be replaced by optical scan ballots that will have a piece of paper that runs through a computer.
So you'll be able to walk out of the booth then with a little chit of some kind that shows how you voted.
Well, no. I don't think it's going to show how you voted, but I think there will be a verifiable auditable paper trail.
I see what you mean. In the guts of the machine, there will be paper.
The optical scan produces something that is then run through a counter, so there is paper.
Yeah, because I know one of the concerns of the little chits was that people could then buy your vote because, you know, hey, I'll give you $50 if you come back to me with a little chit showing you voted for my guy.
Not going to happen here.
Yeah.
No. The compromise was that they dropped the audit this year, so there won't be an audit. There won't be the kind of reform that Cree Deeds wanted on that bill that the Senate passed the bill with to have a verifiable recount where every vote is counted. That didn't get into the bill. That got stripped out. So it's kind of a half measure, but everything down there is kind of a half measure. Look at transportation.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Speaking of transportation, we had a wonderful conversation in the last half hour with Senator Emmett Hanger, and he was pretty clear that there's going to have to be some compromise, that the Senate's not going to take this House plan as is.
No, they aren't there yet. The compromise has not yet been reached, and we don't frankly know where it's going to be reached. It's difficult to predict. Tomorrow, a key vote will come in the Senate Finance Committee, which gets the transportation bill that today, on a party-line vote of 9-5, the House bill that Bill Howell is sponsoring, the Speaker, it got out of the Senate Transportation Committee on a 9-5 vote, purely party-line, 9 Republicans in favor, 5 Democrats against. Cree Deeds, one of the 5. And it was referred over to the Senate Finance Committee, John Chichester's committee. That committee does not want to borrow or take $250 million a year from the state's general fund, which funds everything but transportation, just about. So there will be some sort of vote to amend it seriously, I would think, tomorrow in the Senate Finance Committee. And the compromise is down the road, and we really don't know how that's going to turn out.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress is our guest on Charlottesville Right Now. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on with Bob Gibson. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. My name's Betty, and I'm from Charlottesville.
Hey,
my
Betty.
Question is, I think one of the big challenges with this transportation issue is if we're not going to have money for transportation, particularly with so many housing developments going up around Charlottesville and Albemarle County, and we don't have the infrastructure to handle the traffic coming from those developments, are we going to see the legislatures provide tools to limit development and rezonings until the transportation money is provided to build those roads?
Betty, that's a very good question, and no, that hasn't happened yet. The localities will be given a few more tools this session. It's a very incremental process where they're getting a little bit more to link land use and transportation each of the last couple of years, but nowhere near to what the county would like to see in terms of limiting the impact of new development until there is the infrastructure to handle it.
And how are our delegates who are representing us in the area, are they pushing for that because it's so needed here, or are they resisting that? Do you have any sense of how they're voting on these things?
I think we're going to have to ask those delegates, and they're going to say that they favor more local authority for linking land use and transportation planning. As far as where exactly they're going to provide the tools to the county, I'm not sure.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Betty, thank you so much for the call. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. A very quick break. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. Robert is on the line in Charlottesville, and Robert, thanks for the call. You're on with Bob Gibson.
Yeah, I keep hearing about how there's the complaint about taking money out of the general fund for transportation, but aren't we currently currently have a fuel and gas tax that is going into the general fund? So aren't we already putting
No, the gas tax goes into the transportation trust fund, and that's the rub. Senators who would like, and the majority of Republican senators have been sticking by this position, they'd like to raise the gas tax so that there is more money going straight to transportation from a transportation user's fund as opposed to from the general fund, which funds most everything else.
Okay. That was my question, because I knew there was, you know, we're already paying gas tax, which is one of the lowest in the country.
It is.
You know, as long as it was dedicated to the roads that we're driving on, I see no problem with it.
Well, it is dedicated, but
tax only.
The problem with it is that the two funds, the general fund spills over at times into transportation, and transportation money has been borrowed for the general fund. So the governor, Tim Kaine, says what we have to do is we have to lock up the general fund and make sure that there is no raid on it for transportation.
As long as the general fund gives us back all the money that's been raided out of transportation, I'd be fine with that.
Well, actually, what he really wants to do is get something on the ballot in the Constitution that would lock up the transportation trust fund so that that money isn't taken over into the general fund. They're willing to take a little bit of money out of the general fund this year because we have such a good surplus, and for the next several years it looks like there will be a surplus, and they will take some transportation money out of the general fund. But the amount is what they're about to compromise over.
And there's some genuine concern about those bonds that the Republican plan would sell, because those have to be paid back.
Well, there's $2 billion in bonding in the plan that Bill Howell is sponsoring from the House of Delegates. And that money does have to be paid back over 20 years. So there should be a setup of a dedicated source of revenue to pay those bonds back.
Right. Robert, thank you so much for the call. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Your column yesterday in the Daily Progress concerned one former Virginia governor, James Gilmore.
And he is the only former Virginia governor currently running for president. Now, a year ago, we had yeah. George Allen, and a year ago, we had Mark Warner, and a year ago, we didn't have Jim Gilmore running for president. And everything is flipped. Mark Warner has taken himself out of the race, and George Allen was sort of taken out of the race, and has taken himself out of the 08 race anyway. And the only one running is Jim Gilmore. Jim Gilmore came down to Richmond yesterday, last week from Washington, and addressed the 50 Capitol correspondents who enjoy covering Virginia politics and government. And he was very, very serious about running for president. And it's not at all clear who supports him yet. There is some grassroots support in Virginia for Jim Gilmore. But there are a lot of Republicans who are going elsewhere. Jerry Kilgore, for example, is lined up with Rudy Giuliani.
Really?
Yes, he's running Giuliani's Virginia effort. Senator McCain was in Richmond today raising money at the Jefferson Hotel. Senator McCain has support among Virginia Republicans. It's not clear who's going to be supporting Jim Gilmore.
Do you think that Giuliani and McCain are, you know, they're moderates. They're moderate Republicans. And, of course, now they're really courting the far right and doing their best.
They wouldn't call themselves moderates. They would say they are now conservatives because they're going after the more votes in the conservative base of the Republican
Party.
Which
they need to get the nomination.
And, of course, there are a lot of conservative Republicans who look at them and say, well, we're not so sure how conservative you are.
Yeah, you could certainly see that with Giuliani with his track record.
Oh, yeah. Well, Giuliani and McCain. McCain is not really trusted by a lot of the party's base on the right.
Do you think we might see a candidate to run to the right, perhaps, of these two? Mitt Romney, of course,
he would qualify, but again, he is sort of flipping positions to court the right from his governorship of Massachusetts, which he just left, and he wasn't as conservative in that job as he is now trying to portray himself as he runs for president. There are going to be 9 or 10 Republican candidates for the nomination. It's wide open.
Wow.
It is wide open. Because
is it going to be that big, really?
Yeah, the 9 or 10. And the top three, of course, are the ones we've named, McCain, Giuliani, and Romney. All of them have serious problems as far as the conservative Republican base of the party.
Yeah, and I wonder what and already in Virginia, it's split. I mean, you know, there's no clear front runner
there
in Virginia.
No, I asked one of your next guests, Sean. I asked Sean Kenny last week, and he sent me some polling numbers he had done. And, you know, Gilmore was respectable among the Virginia Republicans, gathering support among Virginia Republicans. But, you know, so was McCain, so was Romney. It's not at all clear where Virginia Republicans are going to end up at this point.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in print and online at dailyprogress.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.